Morning. Let me call the council study session of Thursday, May 24th, 2007 to order. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Whalen this morning. What was it, Mike? Did you call in, Mike?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh, great. Well, you could have been excused.
Do you want to hang up?
Well, thank you for joining us. The first item is hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on budget issues for arts and culture, including the status of financial support for the Mesa Arts Center Foundation, Arizona Museum for Youth, Friends, and Mesa Community College.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Tricia Sorensen. I'm Executive Manager in the City Manager's Office. With me, I have Rob Schultz, the Acting Arts and Cultural Director. We're here to talk today, give you an update on some of the status of some of our partnerships and financial support with regards to some of the programs that were reduced in the budget this fiscal year. I would just like to acknowledge that in the audience we've got Dennis Kavanaugh. I almost forgot your name, Dennis. Chair of the Mesa Arts Center Foundation here in case there's any questions from the foundation side of things. As you know, this fiscal year we implemented some budget reductions in the Arts Center. We're here today to talk about five of those reductions because in order to try and maintain services, we had some great partners step forward and offer financial assistance to try and keep these programs going, maybe to reduce level, but at least keep them going. The programs highlighted in yellow are those that are the youth classes, the youth programming. The ones in white are the adult programming. All in all, we had more than $1.5 million in reductions. And because of that, we had some, like I said, great partners step forward and offer some financial assistance. So I'd like to just give you an update on these programs. The first one is the budget reductions we had for the Arizona Museum for Youth. All in all, the total reductions were $610,000. We cut $422,248 from the budget. The Museum for Youth Friends came forward and committed $188,000 this fiscal year to cover 4.7 FTE for gallery educators and 1.0 FTE for museum exhibits technician. This financial commitment has been implemented without issue. They've made their quarterly payments. They've actually increased their commitment for next fiscal year to cover the increased personal services costs for these positions. So right now, this financial commitment is going fine. We're really not having any issues with it. Any questions on the museum for you? Okay. The next one we'd like to get into is the youth class.
I don't have a question. I just don't want to let this pass without saying something. That is huge. It is very significant, and it involved, I am sure, thousands of volunteer hours to make that happen, and we need to thank everybody involved. Fundraising is not easy, and I'm probably going to say that four or five times over today, and so I just want to thank the people at the Museum for Youth Foundation who've done all this work.
Next up, we've got the reductions for the Youth Performing Arts and Stage Works classes. These total reductions were approximately $533,000. When we were discussing the cuts, the foundation came forward and increased their contribution goal for this fiscal year to try and keep these programs operating. Their goal was to raise money to cover stage works, youth classes, and other operations at the max. So they weren't trying to raise money for just the programs that were being reduced. They were also trying to raise money for the other side of the house, some general operations. They did commit to their donors that the first dollars that they collected would go towards the youth programming, in other words, stage works and the youth classes. Their funding history, in 2004-05, they had about $91,000. In 2005-06, it jumped dramatically because they started Membership Circle to almost $460,000. Because of the budget reductions, their original projection for this year was $592,000. Unfortunately, they haven't quite hit their goal, so they've had to reduce their commitment for this fiscal year to $489,000, and then it's going to go up again next year to $540,000. But that reduced projection for this year has resulted in us having to go back and look at our budget and say, okay, how can we match the difference between what they originally committed and what we had planned for in the budget with the money that they're now going to be able to give us. And it's about $103,000 is what we had to find. Luckily, or not luckily, actually, what the staff did this year, because this was a whole new approach to funding, where we had programs entirely trying to be funded by outside sources or earned income, they took a very cautious approach to spending money this fiscal year. And as a result, we can make reductions in other operating to match that $103,000 reduction. By doing that, the funding that we get from the foundation, plus the earned income that we get from StageWorks and the youth classes, will ensure that we've met council's goal of eliminating the general fund subsidy for these programs. So what we're seeking direction now is to continue that outside support and to implement the budget reductions that we've identified.
Okay, by reducing other operations, would that include repair and maintenance on the facility that are not being done or being postponed?
At this time, we haven't identified anything that's a safety issue or a security issue. It's been marketing money, development money. We've identified, I think I had it here, signage, temporary agency workers, but we haven't done anything that would impact safety or security at the facility.
So is that sustainable over time to continue at a lower level for those?
We are going to have to look at that. We can't continue to make cuts in these areas, especially with marketing and development, because those bring money into the program. It's a one-time cut this year, but we're going to have to look at it for next year.
Okay. So next year, how do you not take money from those funds and yet let the other programs proceed forward if they are short of money to fully fund? Are you going to reduce the number of offerings of some of the classes or something that for the youth, or what's your next approach?
Mayor, members of council, I think as Tricia indicated, what we'll have to do is take a serious look at our overall spending for both the targeted programs for 100% cost recovery, to continue to spend as little as possible on expenses on those so that we can maximize earned revenue and contributed income, but also look at the Arts Center budget as a whole. What's sustainable? I think the cuts that we've identified for this fiscal year are, generally speaking, something we could repeat next year. My preference would be to make these identified cuts this year, and then once our new executive director joins the staff at the end of June, I'd like him to weigh in on what cuts we would make in succeeding years. He may have a different perspective than myself or Tricia.
I just don't want to follow the same cycle we did with like road maintenance, where you can delay a few years, but then it catches up to you to such a magnitude that it's very expensive later.
No, we've talked to the new executive director, and he doesn't come on board till June 25th, and he understands the situation and that we need to look at the program and say, how can we make it sustainable so we're not cutting things that in the long term are going to hurt us. Like I said, we do have the money this fiscal year to match the reduction in the foundation, so we are going to comply with council's mandate to eliminate the general fund subsidy. But we do have to evaluate the program to make sure that it is sustainable.
Okay. Tom.
The $103,000 reduction that from 592 to 489, which is what the foundation indicated they would give you, and they've had to face the reality and appreciate, Claudia said, how hard that is, and the 489 is gratefully appreciated. But you're talking today about, you're asking us for permission to make these cuts. I'm assuming that those cuts have already been made, because we're only a month away from the end of the fiscal year and you've got a $103,000 shortfall. Am I wrong?
We've identified the money and put it aside, yes.
Okay, so you just want sort of us to ratify these particular areas for cuts for 06-07?
Yes.
Okay. You're unable, as we sit here today, though, is about the budget direction for 07-08. You're unable to tell us how big that shortfall is going to be in 07-08.
That's true.
Okay.
We're going to have to really look at it.
Part of their money went to the youth programs. Part of the money went to general overhead. I've got a thing that Chuck gave me that shows a Mesa Arts Center Foundation contribution for next year of $313,000. And then your memo talks about $540,000. Am I to assume that the $313,000 goes to the youth classes and the rest of it is identified for the general fund or the operational expenses? Is that the way it's breaking out?
That's correct. Okay. Mayor, Councilmember Rawls.
Okay. And what you need to know is whether or not, well, I guess you told me what you need to know. I need to say that I'm a little uncomfortable adopting a budget that includes the expenditure of the extra, I need to know where those cuts are going to come from, I guess, at some point before we adopt the budget. And I know that your new director is coming on the 25th of June, which is the day we adopt the budget. So he can maybe send us emails, but I don't know that he's going to be able to. So I don't think it's fair to him to make him responsible for that on his first day of work. So, you know, we appreciate the $540,000, but and maybe some of these are sustainable, but I doubt that they're sustainable long term. So is your best guess you can get by with these again?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, what we can do is take a serious look at it in the next few weeks and get with you in terms of some specifics, whether there are different cuts we want to make next year to hopefully help the sustainability issue, or whether it's the same cuts for next year. We'll talk to the new executive director via phone and get you those. The one thing I can assure you is that we will make sure that stage works in the youth classes are not general fund subsidy.
And I appreciate that, because that was the mandate of the council. Has there been any look at has there been any cost reduction in those two programs themselves, or are those basically been held harmless and then taken all the money you need from the foundation to cover that and then lap over, or has there been belt tightening in those two programs as well?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, yes is the short answer.
Okay.
In each program.
All right. Reduction of classes, reduction of frills associated with those classes. How have you done that? I'm curious.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, I know specifically in the youth classes, we've essentially eliminated purchasing new equipment that we had planned to purchase that is, I wouldn't say a frill, but certainly something that we can do without for the short term, the medium term. There wasn't a great deal we needed to cut in the youth classes. I think we reduced our expenditures somewhere in the area of $40,000 for the year, and a similar amount for StageWorks. I can't quote you exactly, but we did belt tighten in those programs as well, although in the adult classes we significantly reduced expenditures there by $200,000+.
Yeah,
That's the next part,
and I was, he gave us two separate memos, so I've been trying to keep them separate.
Okay.
But okay, that's good. I just, as I said, I'm, to a certain extent, you're asking us to buy, I mean, I guess you could say that you'll just come back here in May of next year and tell us what you've identified to cut, like you are this year, and as long as that is done, that's okay, but I don't think it's the best way to run the railroad.
No, it isn't, and we agree with that.
Okay.
Vice Mayor.
I guess my concern is more along the lines of having the council express what our concerns are rather than getting to what the exact areas are that you're going to cut. First of all, staying within the budget is number one, which obviously you've done. And I appreciate the fact that you backed away from the word luck, because it wasn't luck,
no.
It was planned.
No.
You know, and there was a great deal of thought on the part of staff to make sure that they stayed within the budget. And then to the mayor's point of not making cuts in a way that deteriorates the facility or damages the potential operation of the facility. And I'm more concerned about making sure that those guidelines are out there than having you identify the very specific way if those dollars come in short that you're going to cut. So I think for me the principles are the more important factor here. And I just want to say again, I said I'm going to say it several times today, this is an amazing amount of money to have been raised. It is just phenomenal to me. I've been working in fundraising for charitable organizations for more than 25 years, and I'm pleasantly surprised. I don't want to use the word shocked, but sort of shocked, because it was that positive. And so thank you to the community, the people in the community who stepped up, who thought that this was important and donated money. Obviously, it wasn't, we needed more than one-time gifts, so we need them to give again next year. Thank you.
Good. Go ahead and proceed.
Our final section that we're going to be talking about is the adult side of the house, the adult programming and the visual arts classes. The bars, in terms of budget reductions for this year, totaled almost $800,000. What we did is we take a look at projected revenues for these programs, and we projected that we were going to make about $587,000, resulting in an actual budget reduction at the beginning of the fiscal year of $210,000. So the budget for the program for this year was $587,323, and that was based on revenues that we anticipate coming in. What we did is we reached out to Mesa Community College and worked an agreement out with Mesa Community College to offer 4-credit, non-credit adult classes at the Art Center. In other words, giving the Mesa Community College an opportunity to have students use a state-of-the-art facility and getting us an opportunity to continue these classes, maybe a little differently with different funding, but continue the classes. The revenues for 06-07, and we met with MCC on Monday and confirmed the revenues and the expenditures. The revenues for this fiscal year are $266,569. We've augmented that with some classes we put on ourselves with revenue approximately $90,000. So total revenues for the program are $357,069, which is short of the budget of $580-something thousand. Again, because this was a new funding model, a new way of doing business, staff were very conscientious about how they spent money. They always looked at revenues coming in, make sure that their expenditures weren't exceeding the projected revenues. So if you take our earned revenues and the $351,000 that were projected expenditures, you've got a net of $6,069. And I do apologize, the report that you got earlier, I actually had $7,069 on here. It was a typer, and that's my responsibility, so I apologize for that. So even with the reduced revenues from what we projected, we're still within budget. The program is still being totally funded through the revenues that we've gotten with MCC. However, we do have an issue for next year. We've had some preliminary discussions with MCC. They're looking at reducing the funding from the $266,000 this year to $200,000 next year. So if you assume we do the same amount of community education classes, you're looking at a budget of around $300,000 instead of the almost $600,000 that we've got this year. This is going to require us to really reevaluate this program to stay within the budget, to stay within the earned revenues that we get, either from the classes that we put on or the classes that we put on through MCC. As I said, with the negotiations with MCC, we're still doing those, so I don't have any specific dollar amount right now, but they did tell us on the Monday meeting that the $200,000 is probably about where they're going to be at for next year. So what we're looking at is seeking direction for us to continue the partnership with MCC, because we still think it's a viable partnership. We think we can build it up in the future, but also to pursue other partnerships and maybe other ways of using the space over there to bring in more revenue for the program for next fiscal year. But we will have to look at that program.
The adult community education classes that you put on to, as you said, fill a programming gap, the revenue from those was $90,500. And it didn't cost you any more than that to put on those classes. Is that what you're saying?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, in tandem with the MCC program revenue, that's true. So the total revenue from MCC and community ed classes did not exceed the expenses that we had for both of those sections of the program.
Right. So I was just trying, because it seemed to me that all of a sudden you realized that they weren't going to be able to fill a particular section. So you jumped in, and the way it read was that you were able to run those classes at a full cost recovery basis, but what you're saying is that there was some additional money that came from MCC to cover those costs as well.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, that's basically correct, yes.
Okay. So netted out, the figures that you showed us of 357 versus 351 are where you are.
Correct.
But what I'm hearing, I think, is you're not sure that that's sustainable, and that's why you want to look at the entire program.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, because staff really looked at their expenditures, we didn't do some things that we probably need to do down the road to sustain this program. So the money is available this year. But we cannot continue not to do those because we had some major purchases that we need to keep the equipment up and running and some other things. So we have it this year, but it's not going to, we can't continue to operate at that level long term. It's just not, you're not going to have a viable program that way.
Okay, and I mean, you've got, as I read this chart from Chuck, you've got about $111,000 in projected adult class fees that you would receive. The $200,000 from MCC would give you roughly $311,000 to run the program on for 07-08.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, that's correct from a budgetary standpoint. We still have a real desire to take a serious look at the program again and see what other kind of operations and entrepreneurial activities we can come up with. Just to take 15 seconds here for advocacy, our staff really knocked themselves out this year to reinvent the program that had been operating for about 25 years in the past as a community ed program. In all those years, our directive was to be affordable and accessible to the community as a community amenity, and we did that very well. Last year, we had to reinvent ourselves to make this partnership with MCC work to its greatest advantage. That was a tremendous amount of work. That's melding two bureaucracies, and it took us a long time to figure out their methods of doing things and they of us and who to talk to, et cetera. So we spent our staff spent a great deal of time making that work, and we have made it work this year. How MCC progresses in the future is, as Tricia mentioned, a little bit up in the air. We're going to have to continue to negotiate with them and continue to build that program and that partnership. But in the meantime, we've also got to look at the program again. What else can we do in terms of, for example, offering workshops that attract students nationally, like many other community ed programs do, bring students in from outside, set them up with week-long workshops at the Art Center, work with the local hotels and caterers to provide lodging and meals, make it a travel package, if you will. That's one of our ideas that we want to look at, but that's going to take some time. But we have a very eager staff. They want to make this work. They want to reinvent yet again, and we're preparing to do that.
Let me say that there's two ways of coming to us with the fact that your revenues were less than anticipated. And I'm not going to pick on the people from the Dial-A-Ride because they didn't really have a choice. But one of them is to come and say, we've had to spend $500,000 more than we had. And the other way is to say, we reduce expenses. You chose the latter. And again, I'm not, Jeff, if you're here and any of your staff, I'm not criticizing what happened with them because theirs is a different situation. But you could have come in here and say, look, you know, we didn't get the money we wanted, but we kept the program running and we're $300,000 over budget and we need to take it from contingency funds or reserves or whatever. You didn't, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate that the staff did work so hard trying to pursue that new model. I really am very pleased with that, and I'm very happy that you're saying now, okay, we're really looking at some hard choices in the next year, and we're going to pursue those as well. Because, you know, right now we're looking at $305,000 of fees for the youth and adult classes. And we've got an operational budget for those classes of a little over $1 million. So, you know, we're at 30% cost recovery, and in order to make that up, you need the assistance of the foundation, you need the assistance of MCC. And I love the idea that you're thinking about, are there other partners, are there other ways, are there other entrepreneurial opportunities? I'll only speak for myself, let me rephrase it. I'm not interested in increasing the general fund or creating a general fund subsidy for these programs at this point. I don't think we're so far along that we have to backtrack on the decision of only a year ago, but I do appreciate the efforts that you're making to redesign and stay within budget. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Yes.
If I could just interject, and also Councilmember Rawls, in reference to your earlier point on the $311,000 that's been identified at this point, I guess what staff is assuming is that will be our budget for next year, given any other opportunities that come forward. But we're willing to say that that will be, you know, the money that we will live within. Correct.
Yes.
Vice Mayor.
Thank Thank you. I'm assuming that we'll keep some room in the budget if some of those entrepreneurial ideas come forward, you'll have some room there for collecting the money and expending the money that you always do, but I just want to put that on the table.
We'll work with the budget office to make sure we have that flexibility.
The other thing is, a few years ago when we were, I think it was shortly before we opened the Art Center, I asked staff and I got agreement from the rest of the council to put a fee on each ticket in order to have money to repair the facility, to sustain the facility. I always felt like if that had happened with the convention center, you know, every time somebody booked at the convention center, if there had been a fee that was a facility maintenance fee that had been attached to that, but we wouldn't be in the position that we are today of trying to general fund repair it. And as I was listening to Rob, what you were saying about equipment in the classrooms, the same thought comes to mind, that we know that it's a natural part of, you know, if you're using kilns or if you're, you know, whatever the equipment is, that over time that equipment degrades as a result of the use. And so it seems logical to me that there should be a fee attached to the class that goes into a fund to pay for those repairs or replacement, because after all, it is the use of those individuals that's causing the need for the repair or the replacement. So I would appreciate, as you're out there thinking about it, if you would think about how you might be able to do that, assuming there's some concurrence on that from the rest of the council, that you think about a way of doing that and also creating that fund. I know that I asked for a report on that other fund. I wanted to make sure it was really happening, and I got a report, but I'm not sure if everybody else did. And at some point, maybe in this budget cycle, that would be a good thing for everybody to know where we are in terms of that money. Thank you.
Tom.
I think it's important as we talk about this and the things that I said earlier and that you said, that we have the bigger picture on what the entire Mesa Arts Center. So Chuck and I met yesterday, and I just want to have him confirm some numbers that were projected for 2007-08. And I'm not criticizing this. I'm just trying to get, we all seem to have a different set of numbers that we talk about when we talk about how much tax support there is for the Mesa Arts Center. So I got a set of numbers yesterday. They were current as of Monday, so I wanted to just get them on the record, so hopefully in the future we can all be talking about the same thing. Chuck, just on that first page that you showed me, 07-08, you're looking at roughly $4.5 million contribution to the Arts Center from the quality of life operational dollars?
Correct.
And a $1.5 million general fund transfer for the operational dollars?
Correct.
So it's about $6 million from either the quality of life or the general fund to fund operations of the Mesa Arts Center.
Correct.
That's 07-08.
Excluding okay. their earned income and contributed.
Right, and excluding capital and all the other things. I'm just talking about operational. I've heard so many different numbers so many different times that's, I just wanted to know for sure. That's why I met with you yesterday. That was the big question I had. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying that's, and you know, the quality of life was something that people voted on. I don't know that they didn't vote on a $4.5 million number, but they voted on a support. So I just wanted to get that size out there. Thank you.
Councilmember Griswold.
Just a clarification point. As I understand, before we ever build an art center, we were spending $1.5 million out of the general budget on children's arts programs in the old building on Center Street. Is that right?
Actually, in 05-06, it was about $2.2 million. We went through the reductions in 06-07. We came to about the $1.450, and now it's the natural inflation amount that continues out into the future.
Am I right that we just took that money when we built the Arts Center and transferred it over and just did the arts there? So the $1.5 general fund transfer is actually what we were spending before in another building. We just are doing that in that building. So there is no technically transfer the general fund to support the Arts Center. The Arts Center is being supported on what the taxpayers voted on to support it on a special tax. Is that?
That transfer is a continuing of the philosophy of those classes existed with those fundings, and we continue.
Theoretically, if we had no Arts Center, we'd still be spending the same money in the old theater on Center Street. So, you know, I had a hard time looking at these, and I also came up with a strange number when I looked through the budget of $78,000 general fund transfer to that I couldn't designate to there.
What that is the overhead, the administrative staff from the Art Center also provides supervisory and support for the two museums. So that is,
okay.
And they're general fund supported for the most part, so that's the overhead related to those two.
That was the only number I couldn't figure out in that whole puzzle that you were asking. Thank you. By the way, the budget was very clear. I could find pages. I could footnote things. It was a pleasure to read sitting on the beach in Mexico. So.
The spreadsheet that Tom has with the $6 million, you mentioned earned income.
Yes.
I haven't seen that particular one. Is that a reduction off the six, or is that a net giving you six?
That is a total giving you six. Their earned income, we have contributed income of just under $1 million and earned income of 4.1 projected for 07-08.
Okay, so the total operation budget is, what, 13 then? Do you add that on?
When you add everything together, it's up 12.8, if I remember correctly.
Okay. All right. A suggestion, and I agree with the Vice Mayor on something, looking at a facilities maintenance fee. And I think it's going to get more complicated than that because I think you have to do it class-specific. There are some classes over there, and I actually signed up for some MCC classes, Ron's casting, welding, and then I did a dance class. And some of those are very easy to do. You got a dance floor, you refinish it once in a while, but your welding and your bronze casting are very expensive, I would think, to maintain that equipment. To have the supplies there, the gas bottles refilled and such. So that was a real bargain probably for the price to get in there and use plasma cutters and welders for a couple hundred dollars. You couldn't touch that anyplace else. So I think that it's going to get, if you want to do cost recovery, some of those just have to probably be increased fairly dramatically, or you don't offer them, because you'll never maintain that equipment and keep it up, as the Vice Mayor said, unless you have a fairly sufficient amount of capital that rotates through, because those things do wear out and the parts are expensive to replace. Vice Mayor.
Whenever we have this conversation, I want to remind everybody, because we have so many people who weren't here nearly 10 years ago when that quality of life tax passed, and so we always end up with this conversation about, and I appreciate Mr. Rawls bringing those numbers forward. I think that's good. Let's have those numbers out there. And he made reference to it, he alluded to it, but I want to state it specifically, and that is that that quality of life ballot said build and operate the Art Center. It also said hire and equip police officers, which is why we bought, and it was 120 new police officers. That's why we bought cars for them. We bought other things that went along with those, because I want people to be aware of that, because sometimes the budget issues that the city of Mesa has had over the last 6 or 7 years get blamed on the Art Center. The fact of the matter is that if the quality of life tax had never passed, we wouldn't have a Mesa Art Center. We also wouldn't have 120 new police officers. We wouldn't have 65 new firefighters. We wouldn't have the bus pullouts. I can go through all the things that we wouldn't have. If I didn't say the police officers, I should have said the police officers. But we would still have the same budget problems that we have today, because the budget problems that we're having are over in our general fund budget. And we have actually taken some of those and some of those budget problems on that side, and we have transferred those, we have eased those a bit with that quality of life money, which has put a greater onus on things like the Art Center, places like the Art Center and other things within that quality of life budget, to take expenses, to take money away from them that would have naturally in the programming have gone to them, and it has not gone to them. It's gone to other general, it's gone to other operations that were also named in there, police, fire, things like that. And I think that sometimes it gets overlooked because people don't know what that ballot said in 1998, and they don't look at the big picture of it. So, Tom, I appreciate your bringing that up. I think that was very, I think it's helpful.
Tom?
And I want to make clear that I'm not implying that the $1.5 million that comes from the general fund is caused by the building of the Art Center. But it is tax dollars. And I'm not saying that the quality of life expenditures weren't authorized. I'm just saying they're tax dollars. So I think it's always good when you're looking at the operation of anything that the city does to identify how much tax dollars. If we have a $12.8 million facility with all its programs, whether old or new, and you've got $6 million of tax revenue, that means we have $6.8 million coming in from somewhere else, but there is this tax usage, and I'm not complaining about it today. You guys heard me complain about it on other occasions. I'm not blaming the budget woes on the Arts Center. I'm just trying to bring everybody to the same page as to exactly how much tax dollars go into the Arts Center. For a variety of reasons, I just think it's important for people to know. So I appreciate the clarifying comments, but it's important.
Okay. Rex.
Yeah, and that's how you frame the discussion is really good, because, you know, people say, can you say no general fund dollars are going into the Arts Center? I think you can. The conversation should be that 1.5 for children's arts, we were doing before, we're doing it after. Let's discuss, do you want children's art or not? It had nothing to do with whether the art center was built or not. Sometimes it all gets wrapped up in the same conversation. If it wasn't for that art center, we wouldn't spend $1.5 million, we'd have more money for the police. It had nothing to do with that. It's a different conversation. It has nothing to do with the art center. The art center is fully funded by a special tax that the people pass on themselves. Let's discuss children's arts programs, if you want them or not want them, etc. We just happen to do them in a better venue than a 1930 building now. So, and we do them cheaper, which is absolutely amazing in a brand new building. So it's a good job on management. Thank you.
This discussion about the arts and how it's hosted goes way back. I happened to participate in the discussion about taking down the Irving School and demolishing it before the arts programs kind of blossomed in that area, and that built up to the 1.5, 2 million. And that was a split vote on council. Some wanted to get into it more and spend the money down there, and others of us didn't at the time. Obviously, we went forward with that, and then that kind of morphed into the main art center, and the programs carried over. So that's the history as I know it. And probably someday we'll revisit the whole issue again, depending on how the finances for the city progress, and we'll take another look. But I appreciate the work that we're doing incrementally here to get in towards the targets, especially the adult programs, to be fully funded. And let's continue to do that. If we have to shut down some of those facilities in there because you can't figure out a model to make it work, that might be what you're going to have to do, and convert some of those, that class space, to something else. Because the programs may just be too expensive to operate, and you can't cost recovery. So pick and choose what gets you the best coverage for your money, and close the rest of them down. Rex.
I think reflected on some of the financial decisions made was the new bond ratings that came out. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're some of the highest bond ratings we've received in years. And because Wall Street looked at it and said, we like what you're doing, we like the way you're running the city, we like where the finances are going. It is a much improved bond rating that I've seen since I've been around.
Okay. Other questions on this item?
Thank you.
What else? I think that covers it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the direction you need?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go on to number two then, to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on human service funding for 0708.
I'd love to stick around, but
okay. Leave me. Hello, Miss. How are you?
Come on. It's the last big thing of the week.
You have a very artistic looking
I knew it was Arts Day, so I dress up for it.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I'm Tricia Sorensen. I'm now turning my hat over to Acting Housing and Revitalization Director. With me is Carrie Kent, Neighborhood Services Manager or Director, and Lisa Wilson, a Human Services Specialist. We're here today to present to you the proposed human services funding for fiscal year 0708 for approval by you. We're also looking for council direction on a long-term plan to address some of the funding issues with East Valley Senior Services, their downtown facilities, and the utility expenses associated with those facilities. This year we've got approximately $977,000 for funding human services programs. Included in the funding is $77,835 for senior services utilities. I'm now going to turn it over to Lisa, who's going to walk you through the process that the Human Services Advisory Board goes through when they determine their allocations, and then go through staff recommendations for this upcoming fiscal year.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I'm Lisa Wilson with the City of Mesa's Human Services. I'm going to review the Human Services funding process for you. As you know, Community Revitalization and the Office of Human Services committed to providing a fair and impartial process. There are six steps in the Human Services funding process. We have an informational meeting. The Human Services Advisory Board reviews the proposals. The agency site visits are performed. Staff makes recommendations to the board. The board makes recommendations to City Council, and then the council will approve those funding. The informational meeting was held on November 10th. It included the Community Revitalization staff and Mesa United Way staff. The applying agencies were informed of what it would take to complete the applications. In January, staff and the board began the review process. Agency site visits started at the end of January, and they just concluded May 1st. During that time, the 16 agencies that applied for funding were given the opportunity to make presentations to the staff and the board. On May 3rd, the Human Services Advisory Board staff met to discuss the staff recommendations and make their recommendations to present to City Council. So today we're going to make those recommendations to you. We used the community safety support model to make our recommendations. The priorities were given to the five funding areas. And emergency services. Those programs that would affect city emergency services were given priority. They engage programs that impact community safety services, support programs and services that encourage independence and safe, self-sufficiency. We avoid duplication of efforts, fund programs that have diverse funding streams and proven sustainability, prevent long-term dependence on public resources, and fund programs that have specific outcomes. The benefits are agencies are well prepared to provide Mesa residents with services when they're in crisis. There's less demand on emergency services, and there's safety nets provided for the low-income, working poor, seniors, and youth at risk. The programs that are funded fit into the one of five funding areas: prevention, crisis services, transitional services, system support, and long-term support, and those two were combined for the review process. Prevention services are programs that prevent or intervene that in situations that cause breakdown. The crisis services are stabilize people in crisis. Transitional services include those services that remove barriers to obtaining and maintaining economic self-sufficiency. The long-term support includes services that assist in maintaining independent or semi-independent lifestyle. System support services increase the ability of low-income people to participate in the community and make services accessible to them. The staff and board are recommending level funding for the prevention programs for $36,907. The board proposed the funding amount of $414,741 for crisis services. Staff had proposed level funding for this area. In addition, there was $3,285 that was used last year for the YMCA's youth mini bike program. This year, staff had proposed to place that funding in the East Valley Men's Center funding, but the board thought that the Central Arizona Shelter Services would better greater need for that additional funding. Additionally, the board felt very strongly about the proposal for Teen Lifeline, which is a suicide hotline for teens, and they proposed reducing the funding for prehabs, Autumn House, and La Mesita by 10%, and then placing that $9,586 in a line item for Teen Lifeline.
Transitional services will remain level at $389,736. And then system long-term support will remain level at $58,682. $153,300 is from the ABC Utility Donation Program, and then $824,601 comes from general funds, which gives us a combined total allocation amount of $977,901. The requested amount was $1,388,572, which leaves $410,671 as unfunded.
Included in the $977,901 allocations that we are recommending is $77,835 for East Valley Senior Services for utilities. We have two issues with the funding for East Valley Senior Services. One, do they stay in the human services process? Because they really don't go through the same process that the other application, the applicants do. We actually just put that as a item in there, but we don't. They don't go through review by the board or anything like that. We just put the funding in there. And then what level of funding is allocated to the service? What we're recommending is that we pull the funding for the utilities out of the human services funding process and make it just a line item in the department budget. So it gets out of this process altogether and it just becomes a line item. We feel that that way it'll help focus when we look at programs to be funded through human services funding. We can look at those programs that do fit the model that we've been using, because the utilities really don't quite fit the model that we've been using in terms of how we allocate the money. So that's the staff recommendation. The other recommendation that we're making is level funding for next year of $77,835. There is an issue with that in that Senior Services projecting that they're going to go over budget this year by approximately $45,000 for their utilities. And they've asked us to fund the difference between the $77,835 and what their actual expenses are going to be for this year and for next year. What we've got here is a table just to show you the utility costs for the last few years. We've projected them for May and June of this year, just averaged it out for the year. That's where we come up with the $45,000 potential overrun for utilities. Also, just some additional information. The city does provide other services to East Valley Senior Services at that facility. We provide the custodial, the landscaping, and the operations and maintenance for that facility, totaling about $131,000 for this fiscal year and for next fiscal year. So what we're asking for is one, approval of the program funding levels, and then two, direction on how we address this gap in the East Valley Senior Services funding and whether we can move forward with moving it out of the formal approval process and just into a line item in the budget. Understand that if you go with staff recommendations for funding, that includes the $77,835 for senior services. If you go with the board's recommendations, that includes the $77,835 for senior services. So if we want to increase senior services funding, we either need to cut something else, some allocation to another program, or we need to add money to the budget.
Ready for questions?
Yes, please.
I want to go back to the crisis services. And one thing I've learned over the last few years is you have a give and take as far as if you don't fund something we've talked about before, you increase your police service if you cut something else, and it all works out. And my concern for one that we are not funding in the care partnership, the health and wellness, the clinic that they run over there, they have a tremendous amount of donation from the medical community, and donations of a lot of medicines and so forth, and a minimal request, but for an offset of what could end up being a lot of our fire trucks making medical calls that they shouldn't have to. The cost
somewhere the cost is going to get covered somewhere else. If we, that's a minimal request for a fund that could cost a whole lot more in making calls with our paramedics and the fire service for a very efficiently run medical clinic in a very much needed neighborhood. Because we're finding more and more, and I know Scott can attest to this, our firemen are becoming more and more the doctor of the foreman. Anyway, so my concern is, yeah, we may not be funding a $15,000 request here, but we will end up probably funding it in another path through another service that we shouldn't necessarily have to. And so I want to take a real good close look at that, because he's running on a shoestring budget over there with an awful lot of donated services and materials and medicines. And I really think as a community, we need to do a little more support on that.
Is there a reason that, and I'm looking on slide number 16 now on the utilities, that there's been a 20% increase in their utility costs over the last 3 years? We've done the rates 3 to 5% increases for the city, but how does it get to be 20%? Does anyone know more? Did they acquire more land, more buildings to air condition?
Mayor, there was an expansion that was done in 2004, just of a small fitness area that led to some of the utility increases, but perhaps Mr. Taylor might be able to provide more of that information. Certainly we've had some rate increases as well regarding that.
Okay, does that include the office across the street that now is on University too? Then, because I think that came online 1 year.
Right, 45 West University did come online, and that separated out. You can see the difference between 247 North McDonald and 45 West University. So we do have an additional almost $6,800 in utility expenses that was added with that building.
All right, and if we take it out of a allocation that we look at, how do we control the increases over time and have them turn the lights off at night and be utility conscious?
Well, our Mayor, our facility staff actually is in the process of working with Mr. Taylor. We've actually had some decreases that occurred in the month of April in getting them on the similar program that the city facilities have regarding lowering the air conditioning at night, turning off the lights and so forth. So we're partnering with them right now to reduce those costs.
A couple of questions on the utility. I'm curious as to, we're already into April, and that's so we spent $102,345 and only $77,000 has been allocated. So I'm wondering how the senior center paid for the $24,510 that they're over budget so far.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, we are currently, that is still in our budget, and we are absorbing that right now. Should the decision be made that we not absorb that, then we will begin billing for those costs.
So we're paying the utility bills, even if they're over the $77,835 that we've budgeted and allocated?
The utility bill is currently in the city of Mesa's name.
Is that how we covered the $16,000 shortfall in 05-06?
That's how we did that, yes, last year. The decision was made to absorb that, or the new contract going into this year said we would not exceed $77,835. However, we made the notification to the senior center. They informed us that they were unable to cover that cost. So until a decision is made, that utility bill has just remained in our name.
Was there no cap in 05-06?
There was a cap. The decision was made previously that the department would just absorb the cost.
Interesting.
Vice Mayor.
I think what I was told was that the person who was the department head at the time looked at their budget and said, I have money over here that I'm not going to spend. I have money over here that I'm not going to spend. I'm going to take that money and use it to pay for this utility bill. This is an interesting problem. We own the building.
Yes, we do.
So, one of the first things I was going to suggest, you already said you were doing, and that is, as I looked at this chart, I thought, if this were my house, I'd be doing an audit on why on earth this has jumped so much, because this is driven by electric rates. And we have raised the electric rate once in the last 10 years, and yet our electric costs have gone up because of the pass-through dollars, the ECAP. And I don't, I'm assuming that utilities is looking at that. Is that what's causing this? Is it something like you know, Tom was alluding to, and I've had this conversation with Dan. They do good work at the senior center.
Yes,
not trying to hammer on the senior center. They do great work. But one of the issues is what Tom just raised, which is, or the mayor, one of you guys just said it, and I said it to Dan, you know, if you aren't the one paying the bill, what kind of a vested interest do you have in making sure that that bill remains as low as possible and making sure that the lights get turned out and the temperatures aren't set, you know, too cool, as my kids used to come in from school and crank that air conditioner down, and because they weren't paying the bill. So it's one of those things where I think that there has to be some sort of accountability. What do we do? Do we kick the seniors out of the senior center? That is not acceptable to me. So like I said, for me, the first step is this utilities audit, and let's figure out what the heck is going on that these prices have gone up. I mean, that this has gone up so much.
Tom?
Yeah, I mean, January, February, March just jump off the chart. I mean, you look at 05, 06, January was $7,000 in usage, and January of 07, it's almost 13. You look at February, it's 6, and it jumps to 13. Those 3 months, I don't know what they were doing there. I mean, July, August, September, I can understand why there's a lot of air conditioning going on, but those three months just shoot through the roof.
If I may, Mayor and Council members, we saw that also, and that is primarily due to the cold snap that we had in those 3 months. That was due to gas costs, not electric costs. Our gas costs went from $300 a month to about $5,000 to $6,000 a month for those 3 months. That was something that we hadn't predicted, and as you know, it was a much colder winter than we usually have in Arizona. So that's something we was a little bit out of our control. In terms of how we see the facility in terms of our responsibility, we're a very frugal organization, and whether it's in our budget or not in our budget, we are always going to turn the lights out and keep the utilities as low as we can. We have had, as was mentioned, a recent audit of all the building itself. It is a 20-year-old building. It will be 20 years old in August of this year. And so many things in there. We are doing some replacing of some light bulbs that are more energy efficient, some sensory things that will turn lights off. They also identified a cooler that needs to be replaced, and we've identified a time frame to do that after the summer season to accomplish that. So those are some of the items that we have been looking at, but we always look at. It was just the winter was something we had not projected.
Okay. Does staff have a recommendation on this one? It was to blend it in with the, but how, and all, do an audit work on energy consumption, and then take this out of a specific allocation year by year and put it into a part of the facility utilities budget. Is that? But we're still going to have an increase somehow in the overage.
Yes, for this year and next year, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Other questions on this, and then I want to switch gears a little. Vice Mayor.
You know, I'm fine with taking it out of this allocation process because I don't think it appropriately fits in here. Obviously, that means we reduce this human service funding budget. I mean, so when the next year you look at it, it will have gone down. It will have gone over into another budget. Carrie, will that be your budget?
Yes, it will be, yeah.
So we'll, you're going to be over there turning the lights out at night if Dan forgot.
I won't forget.
because the impact then...
If they go over, it impacts
your budget.
Absolutely, that's the concern.
So in some ways, it actually might give more oversight because of the direct impact on your budget.
Yeah.
Interesting notion.
Okay. Others on this? Rex?
As I remember, these are general fund dollars we're talking about. Is there any room to move federal dollars, CBG dollars, anything else towards this way for the utilities, for the management, for installation, any programs we can use to fund some of these that are growing needs? I mean, the nonprofits, every dollar we give them, we get $10 back. They run these programs with volunteer labor. They do a terrific job. We get a lot of value for the dollar. Is there any way we could parlay some of the federal dollars into these programs and hold our funding level at the general fund level, but get the extra value to our residents by using federal dollars and multiplier effect?
Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, we have potentially, we could look at that. However, there is a cap, from my understanding, in the CDBG program that public services, many of these fall into public services, can't exceed 15% of the federal allocation. We're close to about 8 or 9% right now, and actually that was one of the recommendations that we included, that perhaps the next funding cycle, perhaps working with the senior center to apply through that process, but there is a cap that we would have to look at.
A lot of these are federal definitions that don't make a lot of sense to me. Can we look at every definition, see if everyone is a public service or defined by the federal government differently, as in utilities may be defined as not public service, but you know, La Mesita may be. Can we go through and look for these?
Could you?
Because, you know, we've got CDBG money of millions that comes in as federal. We either use it or don't use it. The general fund one is the scarce one, and we're strangling some of our nonprofits that are doing a great job. And I don't think each year we can be just cutting them back and saying, you got to do more with less. As their utility rates are going up, their cost of business is going up, we're giving them the same amount of money every year, you're going to get less and less service. So we have to find a different model to be able to fund for the most needy in our community. And this model obviously isn't working too well.
And Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, we do have some agencies, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, emergency shelter grants that
the La Mesita Autumn House and the East Valley Men's Center both
are receiving that funding. Federal emergency shelter grant monies.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I clarify that?
Okay, Vice Mayor.
Let me clarify that. That 15% is for operational expenses. It isn't a matter of what the definition of the program is. It's for operational expenses. And the competition for that CDBG funding, we always have so many more entities, including people like Dan and Mike and other people who are here who apply for those dollars, or Andy, who apply for those dollars, then we have dollars to give. So if we shift them away from those capital things over to the operational side, it's still a Peter and Paul issue. Mm-hmm. It isn't that we're giving that money back to the federal government, but I just want to clarify that 15%, that's for operational.
Thank you. I'm all in favor of moving this from the human services allocation process over to the line item in the neighborhood services. I'm not, however, that interested yet in just giving them a blank check. So I guess I would like to know, it's our building, we lease it to you, I'm assuming, for a dollar a year or something like that?
That's correct.
Okay. You have private sector fundraising that you do to supplement your budget?
Absolutely.
Okay. About how much do you bring in a year from the private sector?
Oh, from the private sector?
Yeah.
Our overall budget is about $3.2 million. About half of that is public dollars. I would say we raise probably about maybe 20%, 25% in private dollars.
Okay. And do the seniors who utilize the facilities have any kind of fees or charges? Yes. That they...
We just recently completed our Friends campaign, which is primarily focused on individual donations, primarily our participants, people in the community and the business community, and we raised $90,000 in that particular campaign.
Okay. We've already, four times today, Claudia, talked about how difficult it is to raise funds in the private sector, and this is just another example, though, that I just feel uncomfortable saying that we'll absorb it no matter what it is. And without at least, and I certainly don't want our neighborhood services department, again, no offense intended, to tell you how to do your private fundraising or do anything else like that, but I think we need to see if we can't strengthen the partnership that goes out and reaches and helps you acquire private dollars, if we can, to minimize this. Again, I don't know if there's anything we can do about 06, 07. I think it's just going to have to be course, I don't know, do you want that transferred over there before the end of the year? Do you want this transfer to take place on July 1 so you don't have to deal with the 06, 07? But let's see if we can't get a handle on all aspects of this, from controlling the cost to maximizing the private dollars, the donations, the fees, whatever it is. I appreciate how tight everything is, but I just say we'll absorb everything above, we'll absorb the whole thing without knowing what it is very troubling.
Interesting.
Okay. I think there were three issues raised, if I'm not mistaken, that you need some direction on. This is one. I think you have it on utilities. Excuse me. I think there was a question on the staff's recommendation differing from the Human Services Board, and there was a question, I think, on the prehab being reduced 10% and the teen life going up 10%. My question on the prehab going down is, was that in concurrence with prehab? Did they say no problem? And why was it just prehab instead of averaged amongst all of the crisis service ones if you were going to do that? Why did they particularly pick on prehab is my question.
Mayor and Council, the Board, Human Service Advisory Board, did a site visit at prehab, and there were several questions that came up on their proposal for the financial portion of it. Mm-hmm. And that information did not get back to the Board in a timely manner. And so the Board, during their due diligence when they made the recommendations, decided that they would take the 10% from prehab at that time. And they also felt very strongly about supporting the Teen Lifeline suicide hotline. And so they placed that 10% in that line item. So that was a Board decision.
Okay. And the feedback from prehab on that, does that affect their operation? Can they absorb it? I also see Mike there. Maybe we can call him up. Can you give us a little input on that one? And why didn't you give them the information they wanted?
I wish I had. I wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. To be perfectly candid, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Lisa's correct. We did not get the information in a timely manner. I take full responsibility for that. We went through a massive turnover in our administrative offices. Our CFO retired after 32 years, and then we had two people under her also leave, and we did not get the information back in a timely manner. We did get the information to them, and I do apologize that it wasn't, again, in a timely manner. I am here today to hopefully ask that the staff recommendation is followed. Yes, it does have an adverse effect on us. All of our fundraised dollars, all our efforts for Autumn House and for La Mesita and now for the Men's Center and Mesa Can, we are significantly underfunded in those three programs. We have had Mesa Can for the last 5 months, and we have incurred tremendous expense that we were not completely aware of when the merger did take place, and we will do our best to make those funds available to make to make it work. But yes, it does have an adverse effect on us, this reduction, and it probably would not have happened if we did get that in a timely manner, to be perfectly candid.
Okay. I would be more leaning towards reinstating the money back to prehab, especially with the taking on Mesa Can. I think that consolidation will benefit us long term, but I don't want to cut them short of funds to try to make that successful and work. I don't know that much about Teen Lifeline. I'm sure it's a good program, but it's a new one, and I'm not interested really in adding new programs on. So that would be my suggestion. Rex?
I concur, but also I want to thank the board for all the work they do. They have a very difficult job. They have a lot of needs, a lot of people asking for. It's not any of these programs not good. They're all excellent. You have to decide what is best. All is good. What is best? So I know you work very hard. If you don't have information, you've got to make the decision on the information you have. So I understand that. I think the information came in afterwards. I'm willing to not start new programs and to fund the ones we have, but I fully understand the board's recommendations. I think they were you know, based on the information they had, they were probably a good one. So the staff in that area, I think, got the information later and was able to make a different recommendation. But, you know, it's also interesting looking at staff and board recommendations are almost exactly all the way down. It's not a rubber stamp. You're operating in two different environments. It shows there was a lot of work done by both parts. And, you know, this is a tough, tough thing, taking good programs and saying, which one do I starve and which one do I feed? And these are take care of the neediest in our entire city. And all of them are very good, but tough choices, and I think I would agree with the mayor.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Mike, you're right. I think you wouldn't be here today if that information had come forward. I know I had at least one board member who expressed some extreme frustration to me over what felt like stonewalling. And I've known you a long time, and I know that that isn't your style at all. So I expressed surprise, because that isn't what happens. Your agency has been a remarkable contributor to this community. Can I ask you to put on a different hat for a minute?
Yes.
I'm looking at this teen life thing, and I know that there has been great concern at the school district, and you're a member of the school board, over this issue of teen suicide. That it's been really impacting us in Mesa. And I know that you need more money than is in this budget. We had this conversation yesterday with the United Way board. We're aware of that at United Way and trying to find ways to help there. But can you give me some feedback on this teen life thing? Are you familiar with this at all? And have you had any conversations
with
the school district?
I'm not totally familiar with it, but wearing multiple hats, as all of you do, I'm sure it's very important. As you know, teen suicide is a very big problem. In not only the state, but in Mesa. And I think we're trying to tackle that, the schools, the city, the agencies. So I'm not here to talk against any of the other agencies that are requesting funds. I think all of you have pointed out that you're in a very difficult situation. So to answer your question, I think that yes, the Teen Lifeline, I'm sure, is a valuable and a viable program, needed one.
I think that, you know, this committee that we appointed looked at it and said, I mean, the Arizona Republic just did a huge series on it. The school district has been focusing on it in a huge way. And I think they looked at it and said, we have a problem in Mesa, and we're chartered with trying to address problems in Mesa. I concur with not taking the money away from prehab. The reasons that the mayor mentioned are to me good reasons. Tom, if you've got an answer for this, I would love to hear it.
The answer, I have one question first. Is the Teen Life a new program in the community, or has it been going on, or is it just a startup entity?
No, sir. They are not a new in Mesa. They're all over the valley and Maricopa County. There are a few other agencies that also have suicide hotlines.
Right.
They specialize in teenagers. They actually have teenage volunteers that are supervised by a clinician that help with this.
And they've been doing this for some time.
Yes, they
have. So it's not like we're totally without this service in Mesa, but they needed an extra $15,000 to focus on Mesa. So I agree with the mayor, and I think that, and Claudia, that we should, particularly given the fact that prehab did such an outstanding job of and taking the risk of absorbing Mesa cans. I mean, that was just a huge undertaking. You deserve all the kudos in the world for doing that, and to penalize you as a result doesn't make sense. So I think we also have to take the $3,285 away from CAS in order to restore it. There's a request for $15,000 here. There's seven of us on the council. I think if we all commit to go out and raise $2,000 in the private sector over the next 4 months, we can make a contribution to the teen center or the teen lifeline. I'm willing to do that.
My friends don't even want to see me coming. Well,
what friends?
My suggestion is find new friends. That's what I have to do. You have to go out and cultivate them. But I'm willing to make that commitment to raise $2,000 and to help with that, to make up that shortfall. So.
Okay, other questions on this one?
Mayor.
Is it the sentiment to restore the money back to, and not to the team? I kind of get some head shaking. Councilmember Whalen, if you've been listening in, I'm sorry to have ignored you here for a little while.
No, it's all right. As much as I'd like to vote on this, I do have a conflict, so I'm going to have to abstain.
Okay. Some of the other issues that we've talked about, did you want to weigh in on any other aspects at this time?
I concur with the transfer of the utility dollars to Ms. Kent. I'm sure she can
continue to manage that.
And in reference to the Teen Lifeline, I do think that's a viable program. And having been through the process of watching our Human Services Advisory Board or boards in other cities being overruled by city councils, it really makes them frustrated. If they think this program is viable, and if it's only $15,000, I think we might be able to find those monies somewhere else. And then I think Councilmember Jones makes a great point on the CARE partnership of being able to try to fund them. They are a wonderful agency in a very tight budget in a very critical area of our community. Those are just my thoughts.
Okay, thank you. What was the discussion on the East Valley Men's Center to the Central Arizona Shelter Service? That transfer, why not East Valley Men's Center? I mean, it's in Mesa, why?
Mayor and Council, the East Valley Men's Center was staff's recommendations for the funding. The board decided that CAS would have a greater use of the funding. They have not gotten any increases. They have they provide shelter for adult women from Mesa. And so they thought that that would be a better place to put the $3,000.
And what's the effect on the East Valley Men's Center? Do we have less clients?
There.
I guess Mike has.
We have a tremendous need at the Men's Center. We are trying to secure hundreds of thousands of dollars for operations and capital improvements there. That of all of our sites, that candidly speaking is the one location that probably needs the most attention of all of our other sites combined. It is in desperate need, and anything that takes away from capital or operation is just significantly impacts. We're doing our best to raise as much money as we can, but we are with the Men's Center, the Mesa Can, Autumn House, and La Mesita. Of all of the 20-plus programs our agency operates, those are the four programs that we almost do 99% of our fundraising for.
How do you get together regionally to discuss prioritization? Because there is some overflow from Mesa to Phoenix. So how does that regional body talk about needs and funding? And how would that information then get to our board for the recommendation? Is there a collaborative? Is that the Human Services at MAG? Is anybody playing that role currently?
I do it, Mayor and Council. I do attend the MAG Homeless Planning Subcommittee meetings, and we do discuss homelessness. Shelters are a priority for funding.
Okay, but staff felt that East Valley Men's Center, in this case, even with your knowledge of what Central Arizona Shelter Services needs are. Okay. I would kind of concur with staff on that. I'd rather keep it here at the East Valley Men's Center. And the program that we started, let's continue to do it right. But that doesn't mean not sending. What do we have going to Central Arizona Shelter now? Anything?
We have $20,000 going.
This would be an increase to 23.
Yes.
Let's keep level funding where we're at would be my suggestion and not move it over. Vice Mayor?
I'm looking at all of this and thinking, I know everybody's going to jump down my throat right now. We ought to be able to find $10,000. I'm not talking about all the money, but $10,000 in this budget someplace. Put $5,000 to Care Partnership, $5,000 to Teen Life. I know that that isn't, what they were requesting. They were each requesting $15,000. Go back to the, and apologies to Central Arizona Shelter Services, they do a fine job, but keep the money here for the East Valley Men's Center. Go back to the other staff recommendations, but find $10,000 someplace in this budget to do this. We just talked about more than that, that we're going to overrun on the utilities for the senior center. And, you know, these guys up here are giving me a hard time. They're writing me notes about what the headlines are going to look like in the paper. Vice Mayor Walter says, kick seniors out of senior center. And I said, and then not the next line where I said, I'm not in favor of that. I am not trying to say something negative about the seniors. That isn't my point here. But there are other entities here in the community as well. And we have identified one very clearly. The school district has identified a problem that we have with teen suicide. And our board looked at it. We have these board members who looked at it and said, they're right. There's a problem. We need to put some money towards this. So it's not a lot. We were able to come up with shifting a few things around last year to get a few more dollars in human services. And then let's go out and see if we can raise the money privately for the rest of their money that they're looking for. I'll try again, Tom. I'll see if I can find one friend I haven't been to yet.
Right. Mayor, may I, again, and so I would like the council and the mayor, I do apologize for the information not getting to the advisory board in a timely manner. That will not happen again.
Okay. And I guess if we are looking for $10,000 more to do the worthwhile programs, I appreciate the work we did last year where we eliminated some programs entirely that didn't have to do with affecting our public safety and the rest, so that we created a linkage back to our budget. But we're still using general fund money on nonprofits for service provisions that I mean, if they were that important to the city, we ought to just have a separate department that runs them ourselves and have more control over it. I have a little trouble with this linkage with the nonprofits and city government and funding some nonprofits and not funding others and the dollar magnitude. I'm just struggling with it. I guess one of the thoughts I had is, we'll wean the nonprofits off from coming to the city 10% a year for the next 10 years, and finally we'll they'll be totally self-sufficient or they won't survive. And I'm not sure that's the way to go, because there is an impact, as been mentioned by other council members, directly on our public service calls. So that, ideally, in my philosophy, says that's the way to go, but I'm not sure that's the most practical way to have run an efficient service or city. And I think Rex mentions there's a lot of leveraging with volunteers and nonprofits that we do get more bang for the buck, so to speak. But I really would have to really swallow awful hard to come up with another $10,000 to distribute into the program. So I would not be in support of that personally, but let's open that up for discussion. Rex?
Let me hit it from two different ways. The ABC funds that go in the utility bill and you donate a dollar, they're $123,000. That's volunteer people that say, I'll donate a dollar every time. I know I'm on auto pay. It always says I can donate a dollar, but it's already taken it out. Is there a way to change auto pay where you take the dollar out every time? Because I haven't found it in 3 years. So if that could be done, I think there's some other people we can get maybe a flow of dollars in that can be distributed in this pool. And the other, I wanted to ask on the men's shelter, which is right on Country Club, north of 202, and I take clothes there and a lot of other things. Do they have the ability to open a gift shop there? I know they repair bikes. They do a lot of Sunshine Acres by putting a gift shop on there, as they used to be eating beans by August, all the kids there. And, you know, when the snowbirds were in town, it was really, they had nice lunches. It evened out having a cash flow, the booms and busts. And I don't know, you're in the county there, whether you could open any kind of gift shop, because I know you get a lot of things, computers and things that you can't always use. You have to give them to somebody else, and yet you could desperately use those funds. So I don't know. It's just an idea.
Sunshine. Do you mean a gift shop for the
The extra things that you donated to you?
There, or to bring in extra revenue?
Bring in extra revenue.
We just did close the one on Mesa Drive and University,
yes.
And we are going to be opening a new store at the Mesa Can site on Broadway.
Okay, because I wondered where that went. That was,
yes.
I hate to say, one of my wife's favorite places, but I shouldn't say that. So, thank you.
Okay, other discussion? Vice Mayor?
I, I wanted to respond, Mayor, to your comments about this, about creating a department. That is what other cities do. The Mesa model is very unique. I get on people when they say that. Something is either unique or it's not. There's no such thing as very unique. Okay, the Mesa model is unique in that we do this partnering with the nonprofits for all the reasons that you talked about, that Rex talked about. And I got a phone call a few years ago from a conservative member of the legislature who said to me, don't cut any more of your funding. I mean, cut some of your staff. What do you have, 12, 15 people who are running that department? I said, no, we have one and a half. At the time, we had one and a half people. We now have one. We have one person. And he said to me, you're joking. What's your budget, about $20 million? I said, no, last in the year that he called me, I said, last year it was $1.3 million. He didn't even know where to go after that, because it is so unusual that we are spending so little money on human services. And then we have prioritized this in terms of the community safety model, which I agree with you, Mayor. I mean, you know, I was pushing big time for that. I think it's the right way to go because it has such a financial impact. I still think that in these areas, Kyle identified why it has an impact in the area he was talking about. And in terms of the teen life thing, you know, I think you're talking about fire, police, and all of those things. I think it still fits in with our model. I was suggesting adding $10,000 to this budget, but taking $10,000 from someplace else. I'm going on the same model we had last year. I wasn't trying to say add $10,000. I was saying, let's find $10,000 that we can cut someplace else. So I still am trying to stay with that model that we had last year, that if you add someplace, you have to take away someplace else. I wanted to clarify that. Right. Thank you.
Good. Have you found the other 10?
No. Okay. Well, it's a great question, but there is a reason. I like the way we've done this, where we haven't been sitting in 8 hours of meetings at a time. But the problem is, as a result of that, I'm not looking at everything at once. And last year I did. I mean, I sat there and I found it.
Well, with the discussion we've been having, it's penny-wise and pound-foolish. Eventually, it was going to pay for it somewhere. And using the nonprofits the way that we do in Mesa, we get the better leverage. We get a lot better bang for our buck. We get more out of it. But I really feel that, as Claudia suggested, the $10,000, five for care and five for the teen life, will save us in the long run in budget costs. It's hard to quantify right now. Say, gosh, that's adding $10,000 more to this particular area, but yet in the long term, somewhere else in the city, we're going to be paying much more for it if we don't utilize the programs available to us through these nonprofits. I support putting $10,000 more into this particular aspect and finding it somewhere else.
Tom?
I hate to be the one to remind people, but since we had the votes last May, we have consistently said we told the people what we would cut and what we would do, and we're not going to go back on it. This reminds me of just a little creep, I don't want to start down that road of increasing the size of this human service budget. So I think it's a dangerous precedent.
Scott?
I'm just going to chime in and agree with Tom on that, although I've been one of the council members here that have advocated if we don't spend it here, it's going to go somewhere else. I have a hard time. Well, here's another perspective. If we're going to add $10,000 to the budget, then maybe we should send it back and see what other programs we should spend the money on. Because while the teen hotline is a great program, maybe we want to spend the $10,000 somewhere else. I'm a little hesitant at this point, given the budget cuts, to add any new services to the list. And we should hold steady right now, at least at this point.
Yeah, I don't mind looking at a holistic, and I think what we've done this year is we've had different presentations come forward, from technology upgrades to everything else we need. So I would suggest that the council members write themselves a little note, and then when we get into the final budget write-ups, then present your modifications on what you'd like to take from one spot and put to the other. But I think pretty much we're in agreement that here's the dollar magnitude, and if you're going to increase funding someplace else, you have to figure out a cut. that you're willing to make that has concurrence with the rest of the council. So
I'm fine with that.
So I think we can let this go forward here today with the feedback that you have. The only one that we haven't resolved is the utility, and that's what, 33,000 or something? That
Forty-five.
So let's suggestions on how to handle that one. I guess it's same thing. We'll have to find it someplace else in the budget and look for suggestions if we're going to pick up that expense. Tom?
It's not really 45. It's really 21 because they've already paid 24 of it. Right?
We do have the opportunity to bill.
To bill for it, but I mean, as far as finding the money, it's already been spent, at least part of it. What's your 06, 07 budget look like? Are you going to be able to find the rest of them? I mean, I don't know who it comes out of at this point. Does it come out of your department, or does it come out of the, because, you know, 06, 07, it isn't in neighborhood services, so who was overpaying? Who was covering that? What department was covering that overage?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, currently we're over expending that particular line item in the neighborhood services budget. We did not receive an allocation for that. So we would be running, if we do absorb it, we would be running over our budget and therefore would have to pull from another area or contingency.
Yes, the bad news was already carried.
Okay. So it runs over budget and comes out of contingency.
If all of her expenditures are up to 100%, yes. So we're always monitoring the percentage of expenditure, as you see in our year-end estimates, but any overage that would be above their current allocation would have to come out of contingency.
And what I don't want to have happen is a little bit what I see happening at the Arts Center, where you don't do advertising or maintenance or something so that you slide a year, because you still need to do those things. So. Yeah.
And I don't understand why this year, 06, 07, it's coming out of her budget.
That's where it was already budgeted.
Oh, it was. That line item is?
Yeah, the $77,835.
Okay, so we're just moving the process over to your budget.
Exactly.
The number is already there.
Exactly.
Another good reason to let the process follow the number then. But I don't have an answer.
All right. I think that's in the budget roll-up. We need to have that number tagged with the negatives and the positives, and we'll see where it all shakes out. That's what we're doing. Yes.
Quickly, I just had a question. Maybe, Carrie, you can answer it. How is the East Valley Senior Services, a different nonprofit? How is the relationship between the city and East Valley City Services different than all these other ones that are on the organization? Because we don't, I mean, Prehab and the Mark Center, they don't have a city building. We're not paying their electric bill. Why is the relationship with this particular nonprofit so different?
I think, Mayor, Councilmember Summers, some of the nonprofits, we do lease their buildings for $1 per year. They are responsible for the utilities. I think historically over the years, the Senior Center has been seen as a part of the city. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been paying custodial and landscaping for all these years, and it's been part of the budget. However, utility seems to be a separate, a different example that we've just allocated that every year, unlike some of the other expenses, and I don't know why that's occurred specifically just for utilities, but the other nonprofits do pay their own utilities.
Except for this one.
I'm just curious,
maybe we need to examine why that is, or somebody can get back to me, because there's a relationship thing that I'm not privy to. This relationship goes back well before I got here, so I'm just curious as to why this is so much different. And then I remember hearing something about a new building or an addition that was added to the senior services here, and that concerns me a little bit. I'm sure the service that's being provided, the added service, is worth it, but in a time where we're in a fiscal crisis and we're trying to keep an even keel, we're adding a service, we're adading a structure that has increased the cost of utilities and O&M in a time we probably shouldn't have been doing that. And so here's where we have this partnership between city and a nonprofit, and these are generally good, but a decision was made outside of the city that is now affecting our bottom line, and we're having to find a way to come up with $21,000 more out of your budget. And we need to look at that relationship a little more closely and how the actions of the nonprofits potentially could impact our bottom lines.
Sure.
Just a little warning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
excuse me, Mayor, thought I would add, Councilmember Summers brought up an issue about operations and maintenance. Just bring it, remember to council's attention that on the east side of town at the multi-generational center, the senior center also has part of that facility. We also maintain that facility and pay the utilities there. So they're a joint resident with us in that facility. So just to bring that one up.
I'm supportive of the partnership. It's just if we expanded a service that's helping to impact this increased O&M costs, I start to question whether we should have done that. That's at least at this point with our given budget constraints.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, when we did purchase that building back in 2004, the lease specifically did state that the city would pick up just electricity, and also that we would have the responsibility for custodial landscaping, and that was part of the lease that was written in 2004.
We really have to be careful with those things, because that's where we get hurt.
Thanks, Mayor.
Let
me do one follow-up. Yeah. Was that lease approved by the council?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember
it was
seeing
a signed
that.
Signed lease, but I'm not quite sure if that came before the council in 2004.
Vice Mayor.
I think that was part of the CDBG process, and if you look at that, that is not really what's driving the cost here. I mean, if you look at, because that's broken out, that's the 45 West University piece. That's not, while yes, that is a number, it is not the number that has gotten big. The number that's gotten big is the other one. And what happened was they took the office and moved it onto 45 West University, and then they used the space that was office space for activities now. One of the things that I was asked about was whether or not the Parks and Rec classes that are being run out of there, is that what's driving some of this cost up? And then do we look at whether or not we want to use it for Parks and Rec activities, because is that part of the cost driver? And Dan has suggested to me that if it's our Parks and Rec classes, that the responsibility for the utilities on that should be ours anyway.
Mayor, Vice Mayor Walters, to let you know that Parks is in there probably about 10 hours a week is what they're limited to. They have about 3 classes a day for about an hour that they're in there.
Okay. The other piece of this is, I think their lease is about, I think the lease on the North McDonald site is coming due this year.
Yes,
so
June 30th.
The lease that we have on, I thought you were going to say, Scott, you didn't have any problems with what we do on the east side of town. That's good. the lease that we have with them at the Red Mountain Multi-Gen Center is different in that they're just in there and we cover all the costs. The one that we have on North McDonald is different, and it was, I don't know when that one was negotiated. How old is that lease?
It's about 20 years old. It's had 2 renewals, so it's ending June 30th, and that's why some of these decisions today are important. Because in there it talks about every year that there would be a funding allocation that would go towards utilities or custodials or facilities and so forth. And so we need to make a decision if we're going to continue in funding those.
And that was the, thank you for saying that, because that was the other point I wanted to make to everybody. I don't know if everybody else was aware that lease is coming up. And that's one of those things we're going to have to look at, because how that lease is written and what direction we give has an impact over the next 10, 20, 30 years. So in most cities, I don't know that that's true. In the cities that I'm acquainted with, the senior center services and all that stuff is part of the city. It's in-house at the city. It's different here because we don't have it in-house. We have it, once again, the Mesa model is a little bit different. And if Tom gets to say he doesn't have an answer, then I get to say, I don't have an answer either. But Mr. Whalen's been up there thinking about it all the time. I think he's got one.
Okay. I think you have the direction. We're not concurring with some of the recommendations from the advisory committee. And I think we've gone through all the separate items. Do you have any other questions? I think we're going to come back as the budget roll up with the $35,000 or the $21,000. The $10,000 suggestion from Care Partnership and Teen Life. There may be some council members that want to throw that into the final discussions to see if we can come to a conclusion for the budget. So,
Mayor, if I could just clarify that direction, there's the deficit in the utilities for the current year, and then there's also going forward how we show that in the budget for next year. So are you suggesting that you want that to be part of budget roll-up discussion as outstanding issues both years?
Well, yes, I think it does need to be, but I think the other one is if we're going to fund it and we know that it's going to be a shortfall, where does that shortfall come from? Contingency, what else? And maybe it's a small enough number that it won't give us heartburn in the end, but I just don't want to let it just drop and not readdress it before we're done.
Absolutely, and I think staff is currently saying that we do not want to continue the process of absorbing that in the department budget. So we'd like direction as to whether we're increasing that budget or some consensus on where that comes from.
I think the direction will be you'll be increasing that budget, but I don't think that we're comfortable about if there's something else that we are going to cut to make that increase more palatable. Right. And then we talked about shelter service versus men's shelter and the prehab funding being restored as opposed to the teen life, I told it.
So, Mayor, which is the recommendation number one, which is the staff recommendation?
That's correct. All right. Does that concur? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go on to number three, which is discuss and provide direction on the salaries for presiding city magistrate and city magistrates. I think we have a memo in our packet that does some cost comparisons with other municipalities. It's also been verified, although the increase, the expected one, is not obviously something we know for sure. Tom?
Mayor, I know several of council have a funeral to go to, plus we have an executive session. So I'm a little uncomfortable making an anticipatory raise because of what other cities might do in the future, but I'm more than happy to take the average for the magistrates, the regular, not the presiding magistrate, but the other magistrates, up to above the average, which is on our study, and do it up to about 130, and I take the presiding judge up to 150, which is a little above the average that exists now. But I don't want to try to guess where people are going to go, so that would be my recommendation: is 130 for the regular magistrates and 150 for the presiding. Both of those are a little above the average that's reflected on our council study reports.
Okay, now let's discuss. Off, I think that's within a couple thousand of what I had penciled in, so
right.
I'm pretty comfortable with that. Discussion. That's for Griswold.
I just came back from a country where they underpay their judges and watch the legal system there, so I would highly not recommend an underpaying judges, but I think you need to get the quality that you want from, and I think we are getting that now, and hold people accountable and watch their budgets, et cetera, and so far they've held their budget well, they've run a good court, they have a tremendous output through a very small facility, so I think as long as they keep performing in the way they are, I'm willing to pay people for good performance.
Okay. Mike, did you hear the recommendations? Do you concur? Councilmember Whalen?
Yes, Mayor.
Do you concur with the 130 and 150 recommendation?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
I have a clarification. So would that take place before the COLA, and then there's a COLA on top of that? Because there's a COLA coming in July. So what was your recommendation there?
My intent is to end up at 130 and 150.
Okay, well that's different, I think, than
right,
where you'd end up with.
Well, then it needs to be, I'll give that direction that 47. The salary needs to be whatever it is plus the COLA to get to 130, and whatever it is plus the COLA to get to 150.
So those, Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, so it would be inclusive of the COLA,
yes,
to get to the,
yes,
COLA.
Any other discussion on this?
Thank you for the clarification.
All right. Let's wrap that into the budget then so that those raises would take place. All right. Okay, let's go on to item number four, acknowledging receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. We have three.
So moved.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Siri reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Yeah, why don't we delete that one here today? Scheduling of meetings and general information.
Mayor and council members, this Saturday, May 26th, there'll be a dedication ceremony for the newly remodeled Carson Pool. That'll be from 10 to noon. Thursday, May 31st, study session at 7:30. Monday, June 4th, Transportation and Infrastructure Committee meeting at 3, followed by a study session and a council meeting. Tuesday, June 5th, General and Economic Development Committee meeting at 3:30. And then study sessions Thursday, June 7th, June 14th, and June 21st, all at 7:30.
Okay. Question, is the water at Carson heated?
I'm putting ice in if it is, Keno, before you go down that slide.
Yes. Somebody has a slide, you go down on a ribbon cutting on Saturday. I wanted to just check and see if
I think that would be you, Mayor.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what
Sharks
I heard.
Have been working.
Okay, do we have any requests to speak this morning? Okay, I think it was. All right. Then the study session is adjourned, but I do need to call a special council meeting to order for the purposes of entering into executive session. I have a motion, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.